Hi, this is Chelsea Vale. You have found the Whole Heart Podcast, a podcast for conscious parents who want to do things differently. Parenting the Whole Heart Way is about love, connection, play, and raising our children naturally. It can get, at times, a little bit crunchy. Let's jump in. It's time to simplify. Every spring, and actually probably in the fall as well, but especially in spring, I start to feel the need to purge. I'm sure everyone else can relate to this, right? You end up on Instagram or Pinterest and you're looking at all the different ways that you can organize your pantry, your closets. You start decluttering and getting rid of things. But one of the hardest areas to declutter tends to be the children's rooms or their playrooms, right? And this is something that I think is so incredibly important because toys, they seem to like mate, right? They seem to mate and reproduce when no one's looking. I know myself, I don't really buy very many toys, and maybe I just am completely unaware of what I'm actually buying, but it's really, really rare that I buy a store-bought toy. Most of the time I make them. We get enough toys and things from, you know, my parents or other people, you know, sending things, birthday parties, et cetera. But I'm very careful about the amount of toys that come into the home because research shows that kids actually play more when they have less. And I've spoken about this before in a previous episode, but I think it's important to reiterate, especially for some of you that follow, because that episode was years ago. And I would just like to pose the question, have you been able to keep up with it or have some toys and books and things crept into your spaces that you're going, how did that even get here? I'm pretty careful whenever we go to grocery stores, dentist office, haircut places, all those places where they offer kids toys. I will allow a balloon or something like that, maybe a dum-dum, you know, those little lollipops, but really very rarely. I try to tell my kids, you know what, if you don't take that lollipop, I would love to go get you one of those oranges that you love so much. Or you can have one lollipop, but the trash has to go in your pocket because things like that kind of multiply. And even little bits of scraps and trash and those stupid little plastic eggs where the little rings come out of, it's all just junk stuff. And what it does to our kids is so much more than what it does to us. I mean, of course, you're probably like me where every time you get out of your car, you're like, hey, why is there so much stuff in the car, right? Because we're busy parents and our cars end up being like kind of the dumping ground for all of those little trinkets and stickers and tattoos and all that kind of stuff that come with kids. But it's a lot more than that for kids. What it does is actually take up space in their mind and causes a little bit of anxiety because they are sense organs, right? If you follow Anthroposophy or Waldorf education or even attachment parenting, there's a lot of work and research that's been done speaking about how kids are just sense organs, literally taking in everything, smell, sight, touch, and even taste. And some things can be very offensive to those senses. And when it comes to clutter and visual noise is what I like to call it, it actually distracts their brain and they can't put words to it. They can't say, Mom, my playroom's getting a little cluttered. I'm having a hard time concentrating. Therefore, I'm going to throw a tantrum today. I hope you're ready for it. Nobody does that, right? But instead, we start to notice that our kids are a little bit chaotic. There's less rhythm. They're not focused. They're not getting ready for school on time. Why can't they get the table set? And we need to take stock, kind of look around and go, huh, have I allowed too much to creep into the home? How cluttered is my counter? Is the laundry room cluttered? Or do they have way too many clothes and that's why it's hard for them to get dressed every morning, right? And if you're like me, the answer to that is yes. And I just the other day went through all of their cabinets and closets and I took all of their like really heavy winter stuff out. We're in Montana now, so they still need like light jackets and hoodies and things, but I took all of the heavy winter stuff, put it in a bin and just labeled it winter. I might have even put together a bin for skiing because all of their skiing stuff is done. I went through all of their hats and all of their gloves, and I left one pair out because they only need them every other day or so. It's not like we need a pair in the backpack and in the coats and in the car just in case. You know, we don't need all of that because it's not really that type of weather anymore. So I put all of that away and I went through their clothes. Anything that offended me, where it was like bright colors or it was faded or it had holes in it, out. Definitely to the donate bin. And right now, they have very clear drawers where everything is. Everything is kept in these drawers. It's a very clear, shorts are in this drawer, shirts are in the other one, pants are in the other. Here's your underwear and sock bin. Call it a day, right? Some of you may get even more organized than that. Some of you are, you know, probably color coding your things and you've got everything hung up in a closet. I don't do that. I literally throw everything into like a bin or a drawer, but they know where all of their stuff is and they don't have too much of anything. It gets a little bit harder though when it comes to toys, right? And that is the area where a lot of parents are like, oh, but they really love it. They played with it like last month, I'm sure, right? But look at some of those toys and ask yourself, is this toy stimulating my child's imagination or engaging my child's imagination? And there's a very big difference. I've talked about this before in other episodes. If you pick up a toy and you know what it does or what it's supposed to do or how it's supposed to be used, throw it out. If you pick up a toy and, or anybody would look at this toy and go, what the hell is that? What does that do? And the answer is, I don't know, but he loves it. Keep it. That's kind of a good rule of thumb. There are things in my playroom that I got at Christmas or from other people that I am totally ready to throw out. I never do any of this in front of the kids, but I definitely will donate it or sell it and use the money to buy another Waldorf toy or to buy materials to make other toys that we like. But, you know, there are some things that they have that are in bins that they never, ever, ever use. And so I have so many bins of these toys that, of course, some of us are, you know, victims of good marketing. This makes your kid creative. This is the best building toy of the year, right? But what your kid really needs is to be outside building with sticks and rocks, creating sculptures out of mud and clay, playing outside with balls or hacky sacks or bow and arrows, jumping rope. There should be little wooden figures of things. But actually right now, the main thing I want to go through, this is embarrassing, but somehow I ended up with like two full bins of plastic or rubber or ceramic, whatever they are, not ceramic because that would break, but plastic rubber animals. Oh my God, I have so many animals. And I feel like they played with them when they were little. And I think it started with like one bag of like farm animals. And then somebody gifted me like some sea animals. And then another person gifted me some dinosaurs. And then someone was like, oh, you should do like a bug center. And so then I have all these like teeny tiny little roaches and bugs and butterflies. And I now have two full toy bins of animals. And those things are about to be dumped and sold or given away. You're welcome to come over here and grab some if you're local. But they need to go. And I want to replace those after I sell them with a couple of wooden figurines, a few farm figurines, a few jungle figurines, wooden most likely, and done. End of that, right? Instead of multiple things in the dress-up area, which they have after years of dressing up for theme days, dressing up for Halloween. Mom, can I get this to wear at the parade? And I love to dress up. Oh my gosh, I love to dress up. But the way that it is right now, it's in a big bin and they pull everything out and they find the one fox hat that they love or the fox tail and everything stays there. They don't pick anything up. It doesn't go back. So rather than throw all of that away, I'm definitely considering getting like a dresser where everything is in and it's organized because I have a feeling that they would play with the most of it a lot more often if they knew exactly where it was and that they could visually see where everything is. But the ideal play space for a child, a younger child, up all the way up until I would say like 6 or 7, because once they get older than that, they don't really need toys. They really should just be playing outside, making up imaginary games. They shouldn't have a lot of toys at that point. But in those early years, those first 7 years, it's really fine to have a basket of play silks or cloths, a couple of wooden figurines, perhaps a play mat or rug area for them to play on, maybe some type of housing structure. So it could be a dollhouse or a barn or something that's completely unformed and unidentified, just a plain wooden type of play structure. A little box or basket full of rocks and gemstones, perhaps, and then maybe a role play area where you might have like a mop and a broom, and you may have some art materials as well. Art materials are very popular with all ages. We always had some clay or some Play-Doh in a bin, and it's best to use things that you find in a kitchen store or even an antique store with, you know, perhaps like a rolling pin and a spoon and muffin tins, right? And then your art supplies, just basic beeswax, crayons, and plain paper. No coloring books, no stickers, no glitter pens, no nothing that's going to make you go, why did you use that marker on the wall, right? Nothing that sets the kids up for failure, but you should have some art supplies that they can use independently. We even had some, I think, watercolor paints and a couple of things like that. That activities that needed my attention or my supervision were usually in the kitchen in a drawer or a bin in the pantry. But you don't really need much more than that. And I'm about to do like a big overhaul of our playroom because as we're starting a school year and I'm hosting toddler playgroups and we're making a lot of new things and Christmas just happened and their birthday, I am like totally overwhelmed with stuff. And I think the kids are feeling it. So because it's spring, I would say in the name of spring cleaning, let's declutter all of our spaces. I also went through some of their books because I think that kids are more likely to sit and engage with a book when there's just a few of their favorite ones on the shelf. It would be really great if these were books that they were familiar with, right? Maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 of their favorite books on a shelf displayed outward, not to the side. That always kind of bugged me when I was a kindergarten teacher. Everybody would put their books in a bin where it's just the side that's showing. Well, little kids that are not reading yet, they're not going to go pick up a book because they're not seeing the picture. They're not recognizing the title, right? All they see is just like the sides of all of these books, and it's not really engaging. But if you have bookshelves where the books are displayed and they can actually see the images that they like, well, then of course they're more likely to sit down and read. And if you have maybe some pillows or a blanket or maybe some stuffies in an area, by the way, stuffies are about to go as well. But if you have some stuffies for them to sit down and engage in a story, then they're more likely to do that. And that's an area that I want to speak about because with toys, I've spoken in a lot of other episodes about nothing that does anything for the child, no battery operated, no noises, no light up, no plastic. That's pretty easy. Get all that stuff out of the house. Stick with natural materials. Stick with things that are simple and open-ended and inspire and engage imagination. But when it comes to books, this is an area where I think a lot of people kind of struggle. Books in a Waldorf home are very different than books that you have anywhere else, right? And we definitely have a bin of some library books that we use for homeschooling throughout the week, and they love to read the new books. But my kids are a little bit older. I think when they were younger, I was very particular about their books. There are a lot of authors and a lot of books out there that are really for the adult entertainment and not for the engagement of the child. Books where there's not really a clear plot or a story unfolding with a clear, you know, setting and beginning of characters, introduction, rising plot, climax, and then solution and problem solved. There's nothing really like that anymore, unless you stick to like the folk tales, the legends, the fairy tales, which are so popular in Waldorf. But so many books these days are like, too many toys. And it's like all these obnoxious pictures of this kid with his cluttered, nasty room, or the night I made friends with my monsters. And you look through and you're like, okay, so there's just a bunch of monsters. These kids are shooting the monsters with these dart guns and the monsters become friends. Like these are the like stupidest, junkiest books, right? If you find yourself annoyed when you're reading these books, if the colors are obnoxious, if it doesn't really have like clear character development or clear plot, if it's just kind of noisy and loud and you don't really know why, trust me, it's offending your child as well. Get rid of the garbage books. For the love of God, get rid of Pete the Cat. I can't stand the Pete the Cat or if there's a TV character or a movie character or a superhero, those are not good quality books to have in the home. Of course, your kid's going to see them at the grocery store, and I want the Batman book, but please try not to bring them in your home, because as far as early literacy skills go, those are actually going to counteract those literacy skills, especially the books where they've tried to take a Grimm's fairy tale, for example, that, you know, was a 2-hour movie and would take you like a week to read some of the original ones. And they take like that Cinderella, for example, and they compact it into like this teeny tiny kid book. Like, and it reads like this. It's so choppy. It's like, so once there was a girl and she slept by the ashes and they called her Cinderella and she had two evil stepsisters. And then one day they got invited to a ball. It's so choppy that you can't really like get into it. The point of reading with your child and engaging in books with your child is to follow the characters and the development of the plot and really get into the descriptive language and the different archetypes that are featured in the fairy tales and the folk tales to have good triumph over evil. If you can hear the train in the background, I just moved in right next to a train track and it goes off all the time. But we're going to continue on. So those archetypes that are in fairy tales, those are really, really important because they speak to the child on a very deep level. And in fact, the more that I've read about why we read fairy tales to children, the more that I'm like, oh my God, we have to save the fairy tales in general, because Disney, for example, is moving away from fairy tales and moving towards more woke media, right? Like they're CEO has two children who identify as queer. So she's like bound and determined to get more transgendered and queered people and bisexual featured in the movies. That is like a whole other like political issues I'm not even going to get into because I'm going to try not to get as political as I have in some previous episodes. But the importance of avoiding those in Disney, for example, is that the purpose of fairy tales, they're not sexist, they're not racist, they're not bigoted. What they are tales that have been passed over centuries that speak to the archetypes that dwell inside all of us. So here I am, a straight, heterosexual, white female. I've never watched a movie like Mulan, for example, and felt offended because I wasn't featured in it, right? So that's just stupid logic in general. But when you think about the Grimm's fairy tales, for example, like Little Mermaid, right? The princess in the movie, the Little Mermaid, she is naive. She is innocent. She is stubborn. She needs the help of others to help her move towards her goals, right? She made a very bad decision by getting involved with a witch. She was very easily tricked. She didn't trust her gut. She did not trust her father. She should have trusted her father. She wouldn't have ended up in the situation that she was. King Triton was strong and masculine and a savior, but he had a weak heart for his daughter. He was very sensitive. He was empathic. He saw a little bit of himself. He knew the value of love in his life. If you really look at all of those fairy tales, each of those characteristics are inside of us. I'm not King Triton as far as like the way that I look, but I have definitely felt where I need to stand up for my kid. And even if they made a dumb mistake, I'm going to stand up for them. I'm going to fight for them. I'm going to get them out of the hell that they got themselves into. And I'm going to want the best for them. I am a King Triton. I don't need to see myself portrayed on the screen to feel like King Titan or Triton, whatever his name was. Just like, you know, my partner, he's a Marine. He's an attack helicopter pilot. He's a badass. But when he watches movies, you know, like that or Cinderella, he may feel for Cinderella in a unique way because God, everybody's being so mean to her. She's being bullied. She's being mistreated and wanting her to triumph in the end and wanting her to prove who she is to the prince. That is inside of even a person like him because of the archetypes. And that's what we want in not just the movies that we see and that we show our young children and the songs that they listen to, but in the movie, I'm sorry, in the books that we read them, we want them to feel deeply connected to the characters. And I'm sorry, but I've never felt deeply connected to Pete the Cat because it's junk and it's part of our junk culture, right? So when we're choosing toys and clothing and books that we have in our home, get rid of the junk, get rid of the garbage, get rid of anything that is offensive to the senses and invite in the things that you want for your children. Invite in the truth, which is nature, which is the elements, natural materials, good triumphing evil. Invite in beauty through brightly colored play silks that are so soft to touch, through beautiful beeswax crayons, through artistic drawings from Elsabeth's cow, or drawings of the botanicals or the fungi kingdom. Bring in beauty through the soft, colorful Waldorf dolls that are heavy to the touch, and bring in goodness. Bring in goodness in gentle wooden figures that resemble innocent plant-eating farm animals, or bring in the jungle animals that excite that primitive adventurous spirit that's inside all of us. Because what we want at the end of the day is to excite truth in the mind, beauty in our hearts and in our eyes, the goodness in our soul. That's what we want for our children. And we have to get rid of anything else that is offensive to their senses as well as ours. And the more organized that you get, the more beautiful your displays, the simpler their playroom, their closet, the simpler and more organized your home, and the less clutter that you have, the more engaged your children will be, their minds, their hearts, their bodies, and the simpler your routine and family rhythm will be when you take it down a notch and decide enough is enough. Maybe Monday is library day. Maybe Thursday is park day. Maybe Wednesday we eat at a restaurant together, and maybe it's the same restaurant every week. But in our home, we're going to provide rhythm, simplicity, and we're going to enjoy togetherness by maybe just cuddling under a blanket, and that's going to be enough. And when we find the joy in the simple things in life, our children suddenly go, "Ah, that's nice," because they can count on it and they can count on you. And you've sent them the message, "I love you enough to protect you from junk, to rid our lives of clutter, to protect your senses, and to provide a safe, warm, loving, beautiful home for you to grow up in." If you've been following along on the website or on my blog, you know that we've started a Waldorf-inspired forest school here in Bozeman, Montana, where I have permanently settled. I'm no longer in Austin, and I was not jiving with Bend. So here we are in Bozeman. We are renovating our three-car garage that is detached from the house to be the classroom, and we're very excited about that. Contractors actually started today, and I'm picking out finishes and lazier paint colors and different, you know, really beautiful wooden doors, and I'm very excited about the project. Actually, after meeting with the foreman today, he totally gets the vision, and he had his sweet little six-year-old daughter with him, and she was so pumped to be at the property. She did not want to leave this space, and that just assured me I'm doing everything right. She was like, "I don't want to leave. I want to stay here with this lady forever," which was so cool. But we've set up a outdoor play area, an outdoor classroom in the grove behind the house. There's going to be a stairway that goes down into the grove, a bridge that goes across the creek, and little platforms in the trees to play on. We've hung some beautiful swings in the trees, a climbing rope tunnel, wind chimes, and prayer flags. We're putting out a fire pit. We have a shed for the children, but we do plan on cooking over the fire pit a lot of their meals. We will have a teepee with some picnic tables and heating elements so that the children can have outdoor lunch. We'll probably put up some acrylic easels for some painting to be done outside. I am buying a kiln, which is not something I thought I would ever do, but it was suggested to me by a Waldorf teacher to really get into clay with the kids and be able to use the kiln to fire up their work so that they can take it home and really treasure it forever. So that's pretty cool. If you are interested in the program, if you're in Bozeman, or if you know someone who is in Bozeman or thinking of relocating, looking for freedom, we are not masking, no vaccinations. We are not seeking OSNA certification. We are not seeking any accreditation or bureaucracy or red tape. This is a home-based, non-public school. Micro school, pod, whatever you want to call it. It will be sort of like Little House on the Prairie here in Montana, but academics are highly important. So we are working on a curriculum that combines first and second grade. Just reach out, epicbzn.com, to stay up with our progress, or you can follow it on Instagram. EpicBZN. If you're curious about whole heart crunchy parenting, I am going to be engaging in a book study, and I'll be posting a lot of our discussion points and interesting things on the wholeheartcrunchyparenting.com page, as well as putting up some of the things that we're doing in homeschool right now because school does not start until September. So for the next few months, I'm going to be engaging in some homeschool type of activities with the boys as I'm learning a lot of how to teach Waldorf. I love the education, but I'm learning a lot more on how to teach it and why it's taught the way that it's taught. I'm learning so much, and it's just really, really incredible to be a part of this with these kids, and I'm just loving it. So again, thank you for listening. If you'd like to donate to support the school, there are a couple of parents that have reached out that really want this, but they can't afford it. We are maxed out with the overhead putting the school together. So unfortunately, we can't take people that cannot afford the tuition, but we would love to be able to offer a scholarship to this family. So if you want to donate, just go to epicbzn.com and click on the donate button. We also have a dream list on there of school supplies that we are collecting from everyone. So it's a write-off. It's a nonprofit. So if you do donate, that I can send you a receipt for your taxes if you like, and we would appreciate any help that you can offer. Thank you so much for listening. Be well.